Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. Allahumma alhimna marashid umurina وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا. There's a unique dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was setting out to fight against the Yahud of Khaybar. So whoever will go for Umrah, Medina Munawwara, this is one ziyarat you can make to the lands of Khaybar. There's a bit of a distance out. But the Yahud, the Jews of Medina Munawwara, when they settled in long before the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they controlled the area. And they brought the Arabs under them through the issue of interest. So although they were the minority, but the majority were ruled by them. They controlled them. They acted nice with them also, but from inside they made them bleed. And on the outskirts of the city, they put up huge forts. These were the forts of Khaybar. So after many battles which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had against the Quraysh of Makkah Mukarramah, and then there was the battle of the trench. After the battle of the trench, now permission was given. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had just come back from the battle of the trench. It was one of the hardest battles the Muslims ever saw. And while he was at home resting, Jibreel alayhi salam came and said to him that you are taking out your armor, but the angels, they have not yet taken it out. Meaning it's not finished, we must go to Khaybar first. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam immediately dispatched his armies, go. So Anas radiallahu anhu then explains that he was the main khadim when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was going on this journey. So he says, one dua I heard him making on this journey, and why it affected me a lot, is because it was a journey towards the Yahud. It was a journey in the fight against the Yahud. And in the world that we live in today, it is a war against the Yahud. Whether it's the war that Turkey has to fight and trying to be collapsed from every side, it is not any Christian world that's trying to collapse them. It is a Yahudi. It is a Jewish lobby, Jewish conspiracy, Jewish theory, whatever you want to call it. But Allah Tabarakallah used this one unique word, Yahud. Whether they were going to be real Yahud at one time, in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were really Yahud. Meaning they were from the family of Nabi Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. In our era, they're not even Yahud. Meaning they're not even from that progeny. They are fabricated, they are made up, they are known as Ashkenazi. They are European, they got nothing to do with the Torah. But unique Allah Tawarukala made it that this group, from day one till the end of this ummah, it was their name. So as he went for the war against the Yahud, he made one dua. And Anas radiallahu anhu says that he continued making this dua on the journey. I would hear him whenever he was getting down from his animal to take rest. So when I read this dua, the dua comes, Imam Bukhari rahimullah narrated it. And then Imam Abu Dawud rahimullah narrates the same wording of the dua. Only it is when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered the masjid and he found a man who was very, very sad. And that's the world we live in. Because of the environment around us, what we will call Jewish magic, we entered into an arena where depression, which leads to suicide, and debt, owing, taking debts from people, which is Jewish magic. You say to a person, don't keep the credit card. He says, I know my limits. But nobody knows their limits. Tell them, use a debit card. What you got, spend it. It's a thrill, I got a credit card. But who's giving me credit? My friend, the Yahud. He's never been a friend. And then he put out such an environment in the world, buy this, you'll pay it off. Don't worry, buy that, you'll pay it off. So that Sahabi radiallahu anhu, when he was in the masjid, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what's wrong? You are here before time. He said, oh Allah's Nabi, depression, hum has grabbed me. This depression. And when it grabs a person, you can have the prettiest wife in the world, you don't have Jannah. That man's mind is gone. We meet certain people who got depression. They don't want to leave our house. Sometimes I feel like telling him a few more minutes, I'll get depressed with your stories. Go now. But he can't go. Where he's going to go? Where? He said, depression has grabbed me. And he said, the second thing is debt, qarz, that has grabbed. And that comes not on poor people, it comes on the big people more than the poor people. The poor person, he got a debt, he's owing his friend 100 rand. You see him in the masjid making dua, oh Allah, oh Allah, oh Allah. Help me to pay my friend 100 rand. The other musalli who's sitting next to him will start getting irritated. That musalli is making bigger dua. They say, oh Allah, that million that I'm owing, please help me out. Because when you got big companies, you're living on big loans. Finally, that big musalli will take out money for the small musalli. He'll say, here's your 100 rand, get out of here, you're spoiling my conversation. I've got a big deal carrying on. Those people who got big money, when that qarz comes, sometimes we get a message on our phone, please make dua. It might just collapse the whole empire. It might just collapse. Wonder how it can collapse. Nothing is safe. He says, qarz has grabbed me and worry has grabbed me. At that time, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught him this dua. And the Sahabi radiallahu anhu said, I began making it. He said to me, make it in the morning, make it in the evening. I began making it. And Allah Tawarukala took me out of my worry, that depression. And He took me out of this qarz. The very same dua Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is making now when he's going to fight the Yahud. And what a dua it is in our war against the Yahudi world around us. It was going to be all encompassing of every attack that the Yahud would make. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would say, Allahumma, inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-hazn. That's the first. Now you might not know the Arabic, you can learn it. Nowadays you can type anything, you can find it. But even if you know the English, the first part is, O Allah, I seek your protection from hum and hazm, means depression. Why it's so important is, a lot of times when you are not robbed, you think you will never be robbed. It's only after the first robbery that you see that man got all the companies in the world. Now one person is putting up an alarm system, another person is putting up a gate. Had only the man before the first robbery thought, you can also get robbed. Many of us who have never seen depression really think, I will never get depressed. I met one friend in the car, he's saying to me, that there was a time in my life I used to laugh, and I used to say, that man is going to, I don't know what word he used, the quack or something, he's quack, meaning he's off his mind. He said, I never knew one day I'll become that quack. I went off my mind. It's something we can never believe. I can go in depression. So we'll never ask, oh Allah, I seek your protection. Because only that man thinks of asking protection when he knows, example, they tell him, they phone him, they say, you know what, you're on the hit list. You're a target. Suddenly he's worried. But as long as no one phoned us, so on that journey, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught all of us, that I'm also on the hit list for depression, you also on the hit list. A Nabi who would never have seen that hum. Hum is a worry that melts a person. That Nabi on his journey towards the Yahud, first he started with this dua. O Allah, I seek your protection from such a worry that will crumble a person. Finish him up. A'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-hazn. Save me from that worry that just I'm only sad and sad. Going down and down. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنَ الْجُبْنِ وَالْبُخْلِ. The second dua which we will explain in the course of this bayan, he said, I seek your protection, O Allah, from cowardice. Cowardice means in the war against the enemy. So many a time a person writes that, please make one dua, I can wake up for Fajr. One dua. Someone wrote this to Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani Rahimullah, senior Khalifa, that Hazrat, I got one problem, laziness. Can you send one taweez? So he gave the answer, there is no cure for laziness except your own courage. There is no cure for laziness. That cowardice where a man says, I can't fight the urge. What the Western world will call addiction. Can you come out of an addiction? This dua thought, you can come out. The only thing is, O Allah, I seek your protection from being a coward. I don't want to stand up to the fight. So I remain in my covers. I got a problem, I have to go and sort out my own problem. And man, if he is brave, he can sort out anything. Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahimullah would say, Himmate marda madade khuda. Man must take courage and Allah will open up all doors. But man must make the first step of courage. And I will give you an example of this. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنَ الْجُبْنِ وَالْبُخْلِ بُخْلِ stinginess. One is I'm coward, I don't want to stand up to the enemy. And one is I'm too stingy to put my hand in the pocket and give in sadaqah. Whereas sadaqah takes away all calamities. But to give is hard, to keep is easy. The more you keep, the more the problems come. I seek your protection from cowardice and from stinginess. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنَ الْعَجْزِ وَالْكَسْلِ. O Allah, I seek your protection from becoming helpless in front of the enemy. And that is how majority of us are in the world. When the enemy say, look, we look. When the enemy say, press the button, we press the button. When the enemy sends one nice message, phone me, we phone immediately. The girl says, I can't stay away from his call. The boy says, I can't stay away from her call. An old man is saying, I can't stay away from her call. Everyone, no one can stay away. Allah Ta'ala protect us all from this ajz. Ajz means I become helpless in front of my own self. That I can't say to myself, no. To myself I can't say it. Hazrat Mawlana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi Rahimullah said, one of the problems of the people of this era, he gave this bayan when Aqsa fell in the hands of the Yahud. He said, I looked at history of man and what kept them up in the world. He said, I saw they had one quality which we don't have today. He said, the heart of man was made the king, not the mind. The mind was made as a mushir, mushir to give mashwara. You ask your mind what you think, but the mind is never the king. The heart was always the king. The mind is like your wife. You ask your wife for mashwara, but a woman, nature is, she's stingy. You tell her, you think I must help my brother out, he's going for hajj. She said, what you must help him? You want to go for hajj? His own money. She'll never take out. But she's only to give mashwara. He says, the day you made the mushir your king, he says, a king lost his kingship the day the minister started ruling. A king is he who sometimes, when the minister says, I calculated, I looked at it. That's what a minister does. If I give so much money out, my account will become so less. If I do this at the moment, this will happen. That's a minister. He says, but a king, he asks the minister what you say. After the minister puts the whole thing in front, when a king decides to make the decision, he makes as a king. Sometimes his decision leaves the minister shocked also. But because he's the king, he says, when the ummah lost the ability to make a decision from the heart, and everything was going to be according to the calculations of the mind, he says, then Allah Ta'ala's divine help which would come with decisions of the heart stopped coming also. When man makes a decision, I'm going to say no, then you are king. May Allah make us the king. To pull out of an addiction, I have to be a king and say no to drugs. In schools and universities, my friends say to me, you don't want this, I have to be able to say no. Everybody else got this car, you don't want this car, I don't want the car. They got this clothing, you don't want this clothing, I don't want it. Why? Because I'm a king. You cannot tell me what to do, I tell what I will do. But when the ummah lost this, أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنَ الْعَجْزِ وَالْقَسْمِ. O Allah, I seek your protection that I become helpless in front of the rest of the world. Wherever I'm called, I move. Whatever I'm showed, I accept. I got no mind of my own. I got no talk of my own. I got no work of my own. I have to be a slave for the world around me. وَالْكَسْلِ And I seek your protection, O Allah, from being lazy. Laziness stopped me from waking up for Fajr. Laziness prevented me coming for Isha. Laziness prevented me making that one step. Laziness did lots. What a dua he made as he was going to Yahud. And then finally, when he captured that entire fitna of the Yahud, he said, وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ ضَلَعِ الدَّيْنِ O Allah, I seek your protection from the burden of qarz, of debt, of owing other people money. I seek your protection from the burden of having to owe others some money. Whether I can pay it at the end of the month, I still owe them. Don't do it. It is a dua where Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O Allah, I don't want. If I don't have the money now, but on the 30th, I know I'm going to get the money. I will buy it on the 30th, not now. I seek your protection from the burden of debt. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ ضَلَعِ الدَّيْنِ This word ضَلَع means heavy. It will bring me down to the ground. He made that dua because the world, when it collapsed in front of the shaitani powers, it collapsed one reason because every Muslim world was owing the banks. Every Muslim world was owing the banks billions. One of the countries that came out of this debt is the Turkey that we see today. They paid out their entire debt. This World Bank doesn't like someone coming to say, I came to pay my debt. Everyone else in the world, you go and tell him, I came to pay. He says, Jaza, I was waiting for you so long. The World Bank does not want you to ever pay your debts. You carry on enjoying our money, but you remain under debt to us. As long as we control you, we can do what we want with you. This dua was to show you don't have it, don't buy it. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ ضَلَعِ الدَّيْنِ You make ta'awuz, you seek Allah's protection from something you're not supposed to go to. This dua was to teach me and you That credit card, you're supposed to say, Oh Allah, I seek your protection from a credit card. I don't need it. Because when I'm going to have it, I'm going to swipe it. I seek your protection, not that I go and say I want. When the bank phones me and says, we've got a bigger chance, we will give you now 50,000 overdrafts, whatever they count. Immediately I go backwards, Oh Allah, I seek your protection. The bank mustn't offer to me. I seek your protection. What you got spent when you start owing the world money, you start falling into a وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ ضَلَعِ الدَّيْنِ وَغَلَبَتِ الرِّجَالِ And finally he said, Oh Allah, I seek your protection. We call it in today's time peer pressure. That the enemy are able to rule me, control me, laugh at me, make me feel sad. The enemy could be the world, but he used the word not enemy, rijal. This word rijal means men, meaning people. People, everyone. My mother-in-law mustn't control me. A girl is not getting a child. She's not worried of the child and why she's not falling pregnant. She's more worried every time we go to my mother-in-law's house. She's going to ask, anything happening? So she's worried. She's in tension. She's falling. I seek your protection, O Allah, that people mustn't control my mind. This person laughs, I laugh back. That person mocks, I smile. It doesn't affect me. This is the inheritance of the Anbiya alayhimus salam, that the whole world could laugh at them. They made dua for everybody else. They never went home and fell in a depression. That he laughed at my red car. Now finish, game over. I don't want to go out anymore. I went for operation, there was a slight mistake on the nose. That one girl giggled, finally I'm in depression. It lasts for years and years, my depression. I think of committing suicide. Why? Because one girl giggled. غَلَبَتِ الرِّجَالِ Men must not control my life. We'll go through the dua again and then I'll take you on journey to see how this dua was supposed to be used and what was meant through it. I seek your protection, O Allah. Number one, from depression. Min al-hammi wal-hazn. Always sad, always worried, always why me, why me? Hammi wal-hazn. A'udhu bika min al-ajzi wal-kasl. I seek your protection, O Allah, from laziness and helplessness. I seek your protection, O Allah, from cowardice and stinginess. I seek your protection, O Allah, from death and for other people controlling me. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, my ummah will walk a path on the road which the Banu Israel also traversed, walked. Banu Israel were the people Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam came to. He said they will walk it step by step. Hazwan na'al bin na'al means that how in the past the shoemaker wanted to make. So he would cut one sole, then on that sole he would cut the other. Because it shouldn't happen one man's one shoe is bigger than the other. So you cut the first and on that then you cut the second. It's called exact, exact. He said, my ummah will do exactly as they did. To such an extent, if someone amongst them slept with their mother in the open, he said, in my ummah that will also happen. At one time perhaps it was thought that meant mubalagha, like to exaggerate it, it will be so terrible. But we are living in an era where when people do his filthy acts nowadays, shyness has gone, modesty has gone. In today's time we're living on a Facebook that I want to enter the Guinness Book of Records. It is not far-fetched that this ummah will see the day where a Muslim man will go to his mother and he'll record the entire thing for YouTube and the world. At that time where we will say Inna Lillah, we will also say Wasadaqa Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. How Allah's Nabi said it, it hit 100%. Now let us go on the journey of the Banu Israel, how Quran described it. And may Allah Tabarakala make us understand where we have to come out from and where we have to reach. Why we are where we are and where we have to go, where we mustn't get stuck. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam came to the Banu Israel who were living under the rule of Fir'aun, so much we all know. Fir'aun was the mighty ruler of Egypt, very rich, very powerful. Banu Israel were slaves. The word slave, no one likes slave. Me and you, we grew up, we were born in an era where there was no Muslim Khilafah. We entered the era where we were slaves to what was known as Western powers all around. There was no way you could talk against a Western power. You couldn't write against a Western power. You were a slave, I was a slave, we grew up as slaves. Whatever the boss says, yes boss, yes boss. No question, no asking. When we were small, to go Disneyland was a very big thing. One person was saying, I'm going for Umrah, it was like nothing important. Another boy said, I'm going Disneyland. Everyone was, Disneyland. That was the land. I'm going to the palace of Fir'aun. It was a big thing. Whereas that very Fir'aun was killing all our people, but it made no difference. We started in the era of slavery. We grew up in it, so you don't blame us. You don't blame my nature, I don't blame your nature. We got it in us. But now we have to somehow come out or make our children come out of this nature. When Musa alayhi salam came to them, their cry was, we want out. Like how mine and your cry is, we want out. Their dua is, we want freedom. My dua is also, we want freedom. Finally, when Musa alayhi salam took the Banu Israel out, and that's where our journey starts now. When he took them out from the clutches of Fir'aun, now there was no Fir'aun ruling over them. Me and you, we entered into the era today, what is called freedom. I am free to practice my religion. There is no apartheid where the white man will say, I'll close the masjid. There is no South Africa where religion was banned. Those countries which did not allow it have now given up, they now have to allow it. The mighty Fir'aun fell from his position. Now the freedom is allowed. Musa alayhi salam took his people out. As they are now making the journey, this will Quran will take man on this. Because where he said you will be exact like the Banu Israel, I find all of us exactly like the Banu Israel. As they made the journey to the lands of Masjid al-Aqsa, the first thing that the Banu Israel said to Musa alayhi salam, as they passed by a nation who was worshipping cows, they said to Musa alayhi salam that how nice it would be if we could have a god like their god. How nice it would be if we could have a god like their god. That sentence will make anyone shudder. But me and you with our own life we say it. that I want freedom from the clutches of Fir'aun. But at the same time I say, how nice it will be if my house can be like his house. If my clothing can be like his clothing, my car like his car, my wife like his wife. His fashion, my fashion, his underwear, my underwear, his haircut, my haircut, his glasses, my glasses. His entertainment, how nice if I can go. Daddy, why are you stopping me? So I'll buy the ticket. Now there is no Fir'aun forcing us into the club. Now I'm the group of the Banu Israel. Where Musa alayhi salam said, carry on front. But that group is looking on the other side and says, if only I can have a God like their God. Finally came the time where Musa alayhi salam said, I will get you something which is a divine book from Allah. That word divine book from Allah meant nothing. Like how for many of us, when we will say you have been given the divine book of the Quran, and you have become a hafiz of the Quran, and Allah's Nabi said that if you have been blessed with the Quran, and your eye still goes to something else besides the Quran, he says then you have been the most unappreciative of the gift you have been given. When Musa alayhi salam went up to the mountain, that group who wanted that God in that few days, they needed 40 days only. In that 40 days they made sajda to a cow made out of gold. Because what was inside was not being forced by Fir'aun anymore, it was nature. My temperament and your temperament today has come. That when the clutches of Fir'aun was lifted, we happy, we free. But at the same time, as soon as I find my freedom, I'm running to that God again. That lifestyle I wanted, that girl I wanted, that thrill I want, that pleasure I want. When Musa alayhi salatu was salam came back, he was so irritated, so angry. That do you not have fear that the punishment of Allah will fall? That what did you choose and what did you leave? But look at Quran, what a message at that time Quran gave also. That group that made sajda to that God of a cow. Musa alayhi salam said all that the cow made was a sound. It was magic. It was created, it was gold. It took the form of a cow. The man who made that cow, he made some magic and suddenly the cow moved front and back. And he took out an sound. On that because it wasn't a real cow. Thousands of them fell in sajda. Thousands. Why they fell in sajda? They were corrupt. Like how so many boys when they go to that rave. And that DJ. He just goes also. Because his sound, what he's saying, nobody understands it. He perhaps himself doesn't know. I'm just rattling the words of the shayateen. He doesn't know it. And the people listening don't know it. But on that one, thousands will fall flat immediately. At that time, Musa alayhi salam comes back to me and you. And he says, one divine book was on one side and you were worshipping the idol on the other. Who forced you? No one forced. But because we lived in the era of Fir'aun so many years, we became so used to loving the way of our old master. That we don't want to leave. Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Rahimullah, someone said to him, make dua against the Yahud. Make dua against the Yahud. And against the Nasara, because the war is with the Christian and the Jew. He lifted up his hands and he said, O Allah, remove Yahudiyat. Remove the love of the Yahud from our hearts. And the love of the Christians from our hearts. The dua was, make dua against the Yahud and the Nasara. What he showed the people is the Yahud and the Nasara are not there, they are. If I say, oh Allah, destroy Yahudiyat, your own heart will get bloat. It's all here. Hollywood is in here. I want America to be destroyed, but Hollywood, you stay. Those pretty girls that movies must still carry. England must get destroyed, but my soccer players, hey, you all, if you all lose the match, I feel sad. Who's going to kill you all? You all must survive. You all here. Your life is my life. I got a problem with parliament today. He said, oh Allah, remove Yahudiyat from this. It's all here. When that group said, if only we can have a God like their God. When this ummah went to those clubs and made sajda, they went on to the track of the Banu Israel, shoe like shoe. How they fell in sajda, many of ours have also fallen in sajda. And they don't want to get up. Harun alayhi salatu wasalam said to them, what are you doing? They said, we will remain making i'tikaf around this thing. I'tikaf means we will sit here, we're not leaving it. When Musa alayhi salatu wasalam came back, then Allah tabarakala revealed that they will all be punished. But now they must choose whether they want punishment of the year after. They will leave on kufr and be punished forever and ever. Or we will punish them in this world and we will forgive. Understanding it was real, they took the punishment of this world. The punishment of the world was that father who did not make the sajda to the grave had to be killing his own son. He had to kill his brothers. He had to kill his nephews. Nephews had to kill uncles. Musa alayhi salam was looking at the scene. And it is one person has to surrender and the other person is just cutting a throat. Cutting one throat, cutting another throat, cutting another. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was just in like sajda crying, oh Allah forgive, oh Allah forgive. But the punishment was death. You must be ready to give your life in this world and then your matter is sorted out there. But in that verse of Quran where Allah Tabarakala showed that their tawbah was going to be accepted, in that he left a unique message for the whole world. That if someone of the Muslim ummah goes to finally that extent, all of us, we love the Yahud, we love their clothing, we love their hairstyle, we love... But if someone even reaches the final, where he makes a sajda finally to their God, at that time also he must understand that if Allah could forgive the Banu Israel, he'll also forgive me also. All the Banu Israel was told at that time, say you sorry. They said they were sorry, they were given one more condition, take the punishment in this world. This ummah is such a unique ummah, that for this ummah, when the people came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, oh Allah's Nabi, I committed a filthy act, punish me. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, just go and make tawbah, Allah will forgive you. This ummah was blessed with that level of tawbah, that the Banu Israel had to put his body in front and said, kill me. And only then his tawbah was going to be accepted. If a boy in the rave puts his head in sajda in front of the DJ, and at that night he thinks, what did I do? If he says, sorry, O Allah, the tawbah immediately is accepted. It's a unique thing of this ummah. As I forgave the Banu Israel, I will forgive you. They had to say sorry, you must be ready to say sorry. But don't get stuck on that either. Group number one was the one who saw and he said, how nice, may Allah take this out from us. Even if we like it, feel bad of the like, you will never be taken to task for inner feelings. We are all taken to task how we react to inner feelings. Inner feelings, I like how that girl looks on the TV. How I react to the inner feeling, tomorrow I say to my wife, you dress up like her, you look like her, you perform like her, you do like her. I must feel bad about it. A kufr lifestyle must not enter my life. It must not enter my bathroom. It must not enter my bedroom. I have been given my own life. Even if I like it, feel bad about it. We are only taken to task on our reaction. I want to be noticed in the world. I am a girl who doesn't want to be covered. I want the world to notice me. What I want, I will never be taken to task. I will be taken to task how I react to what I want. I control myself that, oh Allah, in this world I am not Firaun's slave, I'm your slave. I am not Firaun's slave. He said, how nice if you can have a God like that. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam now moves with the remaining. Those that died, died on the way. May Allah Pak make us, we don't die on that first. We move. As they moved, now they came to the borders of Masjid al-Aqsa, the lands of Sham. It was said, Al-Ardu al-Muqaddasa, blessed lands. Ya qawm idkhulu al-Ardu al-Muqaddasata al-Lati kataballahu lakum. When they reached there, it was said, oh my nation, enter this land, it has been written for you already. Taqdeer. Taqdeer is that you will be ghalib over your enemy. وَإِنَّ جُنْدَنَا لَهُمُ الْغَالِبُونَ وَلَقَدْ كَتَبْنَا فِي الزَّبُورِ مِنْ بَعْدِ الذِّكْرِ أَنَّ الْأَرْضَ يَرِثُهَا عِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحُونَ Allah Ta'ala said, right at the beginning it was written, the masters of the land will be the pious. They will be the inheritors of the land. وَإِنَّ جُنْدَنَا لَهُمُ الْغَالِبُونَ Our armies will always win against the enemy. When they reached that borders, they were told, this has been written for you already. Enter in the land. Soon as they entered, the news came, but in that land, they are very strong people. They were known as Amalika. Strong giants. Day and day, the Banu Israel stuck. Two people came to them and said, that Allah has written this for you. And we saw the strength of the enemy. But when Allah wrote it for you, all you have to do is enter the land. قَالَ رَجُلَانِ مِنَ الَّذِينَ يَخَافُونَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمَا أُدْخُلُوا عَلَيْهِمُ الْبَابِ They said, just enter the door. فَإِذَا دَخَلْتُمُوهُ I promise you when you enter it, فَإِنَّكُمْ غَالِبُونَ You will get open victory. You just have to make that step. But the Banu Israel, when they looked at the power of the enemy, they said, no, no, not for us. At that time, they said to Musa alayhi salam, you and your Allah go and fight this war. You and your Allah fight this war. We want to stay. When the war is done, then come and call us. So Allah Tawarukala said, فَإِنَّهَا مُحَرَّمَةٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةً We said this land is haram for them. For 40 years they were not going to get into the land at all. Generation. يَتِيهُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ They will go nowhere. It was called the valley of nowhere. How that applied to me and you? When I entered into the war with the shaitani world around me, I saw it so strong. First I called it peer pressure in school. But then when I came out of school, then there was no peer pressure. Then it was computer pressure. It was Google pressure. It was the phone pressure. It was WhatsApp pressure, Facebook pressure, every pressure. And when you were told that all you have to do is stand, in Surah Kahf, when Allah Tabarakallah spoke about those youngsters, one word was used. وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ إِذْ قَامُوا When they stood up, Allah Tabarakallah said, we made them strong. When they stood, in today's time, the biggest problem is even those that write and make ta'alluq. When they write a letter, they say, make dua, I can't leave her. So if you make a dua, it means suddenly I'll leave her. She might die if you make a dua, then you leave her. You have to leave her. When they said to Musa alayhi salam, you fight the war. People today are telling their mashayikh, you make dua that the enemy gets destroyed. You make the dua that they fall, they collapse. You make the dua when there is no inner feeling. That's what the person is asking. He says, the day I don't have a desire for her, I'll leave her. But that's not going to happen. The exam is what the desire for haram, you have to leave the haram. You'll have to stand up and say no. And Quran has promised, when you will enter that door, فَإِنَّكُمْ غَالِبُونَ You will find open victory. But you have to make that step. As long as you don't make that step, that thing will never open. That door only opens when you come to it. Only when you come to it. Sitting back and saying, the day the desire for porn goes away, I'll stop. The day the desire for the drug leaves me, I'll stop. The day the desire to look at pretty faces leaves me, I'll stop. That was what the Banu Israel said. We want the land. But we're not ready to fight for the land. He said, take the fight and Allah will destroy every enemy of yours. They said, you and your Allah go and do it. Meaning make a lot of dua, but I am not ready to make any effort. I will come in Ramadan and as the alim, the Mawlana, the Sheikh is making dua, I'll also say Ameen. But I'm not ready to make the effort. I will never go back home and say, you know what, I think television has to now come out. I think those porn which is on that site, I have to stop it. I think that open Wi-Fi, which forget my child getting in haram, I'm getting in haram because it's open, unkept. I got so much of Wi-Fi, so much of megabytes, gigabytes, that I just don't know what to do. So I just carry on looking, 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 until finally when I'm caught, then the next day I come back to the alim and say, you know what, last night was a bad night. But why couldn't I stop it before and say, I don't want it? He says, because you and your Allah go fight this war. When the war is over, then call us. We want the land, but we're not ready for the fight. That group of the Banu Israel were told, you're going to go nowhere. They got stuck. In the valley of nowhere is where me and you are stuck. What happened in the valley of nowhere? For that group of the Banu Israel, it comes in the books, that they would travel during the day. The lands of Sham were not far. Wherever they would reach by the night, they would stop to camp. The next day Allah Tabarakallah would either take them back or it would bring the land in front. When they would wake up the next day, they would see how many miles we were yesterday from the border, we're still so many miles. If they went in this way, the land moved with them. If they went in that way, the land moved with them. Meaning you're never going to come out of your problems until you're not ready yourself to take up the fight. As long as you're not ready, you can go where you want. But during that time in the valley of nowhere, Allah Tabarakallah, at that time, where are they going to get clothing from? There was no Woolworths in the valley of nowhere. So Allah Tabarakallah made their clothing would grow on their body. As their size would grow, the clothing would grow. It would always be pure, it would never get dirty. There was no restaurants on the way. Allah Tabarakallah sent food from Jannah for a nation who was going nowhere. But because they are a selected nation, the food came to them, water came to them, clothing came to them, shelter came to them. They said, it's very hot here. Allah Tabarakallah sent a cloud. What a lesson He left for me and you, that when you are going in the valley of nowhere, even at that time, your Allah will see to your necessities. Today when I'm driving my car, it doesn't mean I'm going somewhere. It means I'm in the valley of nowhere, but my Allah is still taking kindness upon me. My food is coming to me, my water is coming to me, my clothing is coming, everything is coming. But for some reason, because we see everything coming, we started thinking we're going also. But we are in the valley of nowhere. What is the valley of nowhere? My salah has become automatic. I only come to the masjid because my family is going masjid. There is no urge, there is no desire, there is no cry. When I reach the salah, it is not this salah is 100 times better than my yesterday's salah. Any man climbing a mountain, he knows the view one higher is better than the view one lower. That is why you carry on climbing. When you're on a mountain climbing, every time you're tired, you just say, hey, look, hey, beautiful, isn't it? Yeah, I think if you get there, it will be even more beautiful. That's when you carry on the journey. But my second salah is more boring than my first salah. Why? Because my salah became automatic. My second sajda is more boring than the first. Because I'm in the valley of nowhere. In the valley of nowhere, after a while, salah becomes a bore. And when my father doesn't call me, I don't want to go. Quran becomes a bore. The entire journey is because I'm going nowhere. If you are going somewhere, the next subhanallah will have a quality which the previous subhanallah did not have. The next day of salah will have a quality of ecstasy which yesterday did not have. The journey towards Almighty Allah is a never-ending journey, but every step of the way, you get introduced to a marvel of Almighty Allah which you never saw the day before. That is the journey. A never-ending journey in an ocean that has no shore, but every part of that waters is more sweeter than the water before. That is how this journey is. That everyone is more unique. It just gets more and more and more amazing. This is that world towards Almighty Allah. A person had the chance to meet Khidr. Some call him Khidr, some call him Khadir. You can pronounce it both ways. So Khidr and Khadir, he's like the leader of all the awliya in the world. And a group of very, very pious people, then Allah Tabarakala would send him to engage them in some work also. Some of them would understand who he is, some would not understand.
So one person on meeting Khadir asked him, what is something you shocked all the people? Like how Khadir alayhi salam shocked Musa alayhi salam in the incident that many of us know. He said, you shock everyone. Have you ever become shocked? So he says, in this journey to Almighty Allah, every part is a shock. That no one knows how far it can go. He said, I reached one individual and I understood him to be from the selected servants of Allah. Because of the way he was in his salah. After the salah, when he lied down, I came and I gave him a slight kick. And I said, wake up, we got work to take from you. Normally when I say that, the man immediately looks up and says, who are you? Because he looks like an owl. But when this individual looked up, he said, salam to you, O Khadir. So I got shocked. And I said to him, you recognize me? He says, obviously I recognize, but the funny thing is you don't recognize me. I recognize you. So Khidr said, now I was shocked. And I said, oh Allah, I have been made in charge of the awliya. But here I'm finding a man who's talking to me like he knows more about me than I know about him. So he says, Allah tabarak ta'ala inspired me, revelation, whatever it was, that oh Khidr, you have been made in charge of those people in the world who love us, not in charge of those who we love. And there's another level. He says, he is amongst those people who we love. You have been made charge of those who love us. He said, I was shocked. So he said, after I spoke to the person for a while, I said something to him. When I said something to him, so he said, didn't you just get your answer just now, that you only in charge of those who love Allah, not in charge of those who Allah love? He told, so he said, I was more amazed. So he says, then I went away, I was thinking, oh Allah, in your treasures, we don't know what levels they are. He says, then I was sent to climb a mountain. When I reached the top of the mountain, there was a woman in niqab and she was performing salah. After her salah, loudly she said, salam to you, O Khadir. So I got a shock. How did she even know I'm here? So without asking her anything, she said to me, that amazing, you always questioning Almighty Allah's doings. Just now when you were down the mountain, you were asking about that man. You got your answer there, that there are certain people who Allah loves. You don't know anything about them, but they know about you. So he said, I kept quiet. And then I just asked her that, are you married? Because normally a woman who's on that high level of wilayat can't be married. She said, what do you think? Obviously I'm married. Everyone will be wondering, I wish I was that husband. What a wife on top of the mountain. So he said, what are you doing here on top of the mountain? So she says, one of the selected slaves of Almighty Allah passed away. Of a very high level. She's of a very high level. And she made dua that, oh Allah, on my death, no man must even carry my body for the burial. So Almighty Allah sent me to come and see to her janazah and the burial and to put her in. So he says, as I walked back, then I thought that, oh Allah, in this journey towards you, the stages is that she takes someone very high. The world. But that world is far for me and you. For me and you is, why is there no ecstasy in the salah tomorrow more than what it is today? If this journey is such a journey, and the sweetness of Almighty Allah is not never ending, kulla yawmin huwa fi shan. On every second, every millisecond, Allah got a unique splendor, different from the previous splendor. Why are we not feeling it? Because we're in the valley of nowhere. But just because my car, my house, my clothing was sent to me, I started thinking I'm okay. But not I'm okay, I'm going nowhere. 30 years, 60 years have passed in life. You ask a person what you did in life, he said, I came to eat, drink and die. I never went out, I never explored, I never found my Allah. I never woke up in those cold days and said, oh Allah, I enjoy his salah in the cold. I never walked out on a nafal fast when it was extremely hot and I said, oh Allah, I love to fast for you. I couldn't say that word because I was in the valley of nowhere. I could never one day say I had the ecstasy of dua. One night I saw something. I had a unique feeling. I can't say it because it only happens out of the valley. In the valley, nothing but walking around happens. Me and you are all stuck in the valley. يَتِيهُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. We made it haram for them to get out of this valley. Why? Because they were not ready to say, I'm ready to fight. The day the nation then came to Musa alayhi salam's next in charge, Yusha bin Nun, and they said to him, we tired of the valley of going nowhere. My dua is that we now become that generation. We and our children who say we want out now. We want now to find that ecstasy again in your ibadat, O Allah. That enjoyment which people of the past had. That thrill to wake up at salah and to spend a lot of hours in salah. That thrill that a man's leg starts swelling. And then he says, I'll go in sajda to make the swell come less. But I don't want to end my salah. There was a thrill that people of the past enjoyed which me and you have never tasted. There was a thrill. A sahabi radiallahu anhu hit with an arrow. When his friend will later on ask him that, why didn't you wake me up on the arrow hitting you? Second arrow he finds in his. He says, I was enjoying Surah Kahf. Now I wanted to finish the Surah. But in the ending I thought perhaps I will die, and then the protection of the Muslims is at risk. So I said, finally let me break my Salah. They had such an ecstasy in their Ibadat which we never tasted. Not because it isn't there, but it's not in the valley. In the valley is only normal food. Ecstasy is out. Finally they came and they said, we are ready to go for the fight. Even if we have to die, which many people do say, that if I leave that girl, I think I will die. The girl says that if I say no to him, then at night I think of cutting my hands. Even if I fear death. One man walked past a rock. One boy was in love with a girl of a nearby village, but he never wanted to do. So he had written there that what is the cure for ishq? Extreme desire. I just want her, but I can't get her. He said, what is the cure? So this person looking at that day, so he wrote under it, the cure for that burning desire is sabr. The next time he walked past, the person wrote there, that what if sabr will lead to death? So he wrote under it, that if one has to die for Allah, it is a worthwhile death. If one has to die for Allah, it is a worthwhile death. He says, the next time when I came past that rock, I found the body of a young lad there. And he had written his final words. He says, Ishq, Ashiqna. He says, we fell deeply in love. Thumma katabna. Then we controlled and we hid it from everyone. Nothing stopped him sending a message to her, a letter to her, an SMS to her, how I love your eyes. He said, katamna, I controlled. He said, thumma mitna, then we died for Allah. And it's a worthwhile death. There were people like that. Rasulullah ﷺ said, man ashiqa thumma katama. That man who falls deeply in love, that girl who falls deeply in love, ishq, means that burn inside that doesn't let you sleep at night. He says, and he holds it, he hides it, he controls it, he doesn't expose it. He says, and in that summa mata, Rasulullah ﷺ said, he dies with that pain. For huwa shaheedun, he will be resurrected as a martyr in front of Allah. This is martyrdom this year. This is a battle. I am ready to fight even if I have to die. You have to be ready to enter that arena. In the world that we are facing, it is the dua of Rasulullah ﷺ, let me not become helpless, O Allah, in this war. Let me fight it. The worst that can happen is I die. It's a worthwhile death. The worst that will happen, I will die as a martyr. When I will stand in front of Allah, when that sahabi who made dua, he said, O Allah, in the battle tomorrow, let the enemy after killing me cut my body. So that when I stand in front of you and you ask, I can present the limb. And I don't have to say, oh Allah, I died for you, my lamb will show what happened for you. If me and you can die in today's era for Allah, and when we ask, what did you bring, and we can show a heart that has been cut into pieces. Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib was the imam of the war against this ishq-e majazi, in this love which is terrible, filthy love. He said, when you allow the heart to break, said Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam wrote a letter to the queen of the time, Bilqis. And he said to her that either you submit or I will bring an army upon you which you got no answer for. So Bilqis summoned her ministers and she asked, what do you all think? They said, we'll fight him. But finally they said, you are the queen. So she said, إِنَّ الْمُلُوكَ إِذَا دَخَلُوا قَرْيَةً أَفْسَدُوهَا. She said, remember, if he is a mighty king, forget a Nabi. Normally when a king makes war, if they do manage to enter our land, the first targets they will go for is me and you. Because they will not fight against the farmers. He said, we'll lose our job first. We'll be the ones disgraced. But if we allow the king to come in, he'll leave us in our jobs also. So don't be too fast to take the fight. On that verse, however, Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib said, you learn something from this verse. That when a king is allowed to enter a land, the people who are the threats in the land, the king himself sees to wiping them out. He says, man, if he allows Allah to enter his heart, then that pride and that filth and that dirt and that ishq-e majazi, filthy, haram, dirt, all which is there. But if he says, oh Allah, I'm ready. He says, he allowed Allah to enter that heart. He says, as kings see to all the threats of that land, Allah Tabarakallah will wipe out all the threats of the heart. He said, you have to be ready to allow that heart to get Allah. And then on that point, he said, you see, when a man says no to his haram desire, it is like a knife has been put on his heart. When the knife is put, you will see blood coming from that heart. He said, I promise you, if you can put the knife on your heart of the love of Allah, and you allow this heart to bleed, he says, when the heart bleeds, it will give a reddish color. He said, that reddish color is the exact color which you will see in the morning before the sun rises. Before the sun rises on the horizon, you see red. He says, the color red on the horizon is the sign that very soon the sun is going to rise. He says, here if you can bring the color red, I guarantee you after the red, the sun of the recognition of Almighty Allah is going to rise in your heart. But you'll have to let it bleed. He said, it's that red that starts the game. You have to be ready to let it bleed. Hazrat Hakim Sahib then would tell the person, read the poem. It was the poem that Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib wrote in love. Those poems would mean, I'm going to paint a picture of love to you. The war of love. It would mean that this picture is going to be scary, hold on, this journey is very difficult. And then he would say, in consoling our desires, we reached where we reached. You have to learn to bleed and then the sun will rise. We don't want to die. We don't want to bleed. We don't want to stand. When they told Yusha bin Noon, we are ready now for the fight. Immediately he said, oh Allah, a new generation is now standing. May Allah make me and you that generation. I'm ready for the fight. I cannot no longer be the slave of Google, the slave of porn, the slave of drugs, the slave of peer pressure, the slave of university talk. I am a boss. I am ready to go out of the valley. Everything happens outside. So he said to them, come. And this is the last part of the journey of the Banu Israel and perhaps the hardest part. Be ready for the fight. Yusha bin Noon makes dua, Allah Tabarakala allows, the journey comes to an end, they allowed out, go for the fight. But as they are going, now the war starts. And then Allah Tabarakala sends a king of the time. And the king of the time is told, now you are going for the final battle with kufr. On your hands will be divine victory. On your hand the mighty powers of kufr will fall to the ground. At that time it was called Jalut, the mighty king. So as he left with that group was all those who said, we ready to fight, ready to fight. But as they left, Allah Tabarakala says that the Nabi of the time said to them, وَلَمَّا بَرَزُوا لِجَالُوتَ وَجُنُودِهِ. The verse means that Allah, the Nabi of the time said to them that Allah is going to test you. Now look at the test. But the test was, you are going to land by water. Now you are walking and it's very thirsty. When water comes, automatically you are thirsty. He said, Allah is going to test you with a river. That water will come in front. When you will reach that water, you are allowed to drink one or two. More than that, don't drink. Now what a test that is. It's not haram water. It's not a haram girl. It's not a haram picture, it's water. But what a test it was, that obedience will be tested in the minute things to see if you are ready to be of the elite of the army of Allah. In that which you say, there's no exam in this. So they reach the water. And he said, you allowed one or two. فَمَنْ شَرِبَ مِنْهُ فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. He says, whoever will drink this water which is halal water, he will not be allowed to move with me also. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَتْعَمْهُ فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي إِلَّا مَنِ اغْتَرَفَ غُرْفَةً بِيَمِينَ. The one who took one sip, he will come with me. After one sip, there's no second sip. That exam is such a trivial exam, but that trivial exam was the hardest of all exams. Why? Had the water not been brought front, you couldn't get there. Had you not been told you can take one sip, you would never have taken the second sip. But Allah Tabarakala wanted to test obedience, so the water came. Just like how the internet came. And then you were told it's allowed, you can go on it. They were told it's allowed, you can take the one sip. Had there been no internet, there would have been no exam. But it was put there. And now you were told sip one and no second. And that's the time when your test is being taken. On the end of this bayan, may Allah make this ayat come in mind in your heart. فَمَنْ شَرِبَ مِنْهُ فَلَيْسَ مِنْهِ. That he who will take that second sup, then he will understand he is not going to be of the elite of Allah's army. Divine victory will not fall on his hands. Allah Tabarakala spoke of the people going for Hajj. When you in Hajj, you in Ihram. In Ihram, you can't put on, you can't use soap, you can't put on itar. There's one more law of Ihram. If an animal which you can hunt, like a buck, zebra, it runs in front. The journey is long, not like today's journey where we land. On the past they would go on journeys. So the zebra would run in front. You haven't had meat for so many days. You just have to pull out your arrow, the zebra will fall, you'll have a lovely meal tonight. But you can't hunt the zebra while you're in Ihram. Allah Tabarakala says, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu. O people of Iman, but which Iman? O people who are going for Hajj. O the delegation of Allah. لَيَبْلُوَنَّكُمُ اللَّهُ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الصَّيْدِ. Your Allah is going to test you with the animal. تَنَالُهُ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَرِمَاحُكُمْ. It will come so close that your hand can grab it. Your arrow can hit it. Had that animal not come, the exam would have been very easy. But look at this word. O people of Iman. But what it meant, O people going to Allah for Hajj. Your Allah is going to test you with the animal. So close it is. Why? لِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَخَافُهُ بِالْغَيْبِ. Because Allah wants to know that person who fears Allah when no one is looking. It is only Him and His Allah.
That is the final test before complete victory opens on the hand of that individual. That it will be brought to you, the raza. The animal will be brought. The haram will come looking to you. You don't have to go to it. Today it reached me, it's in my phone. It reached me, it's on my internet. It reached me because a girl phoned and he said, I wouldn't mind meeting you. This verse is, I will send it to you. It will be so open, we allowed you to taste from it also. And now we will say, فَمَنْ شَرِبَ مِنْهُ فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. If you will now drink of that water, when that soldier drank, because you were allowed the one, no one was going to notice you taking a second one. No one was going to see. But as that army left, then the king of the time and the Nabi of the time announced that only those will be allowed to move with us who are the people of Iman. The others just sat. They couldn't stand. Their body never allowed them to move. That small group then set out. What was the exam? Go from the beginning. First was to take out this love. I wish I can have a god like their god. That group got left right at the back. They never went on the journey. The second was the group that reached. But when the time for the fight came, they said, we're too scared for the fight. They got lost in the valley of nowhere. They could not get out. Then was that group that said, we're ready for the fight. So when they said, we're ready for the fight, Almighty Allah said, we're ready now for the exam. Now the water will be brought in front. That person who can see his next imtihan, he can look at it, and he can say, you are a fitna, a test which my Allah has sent to test me. لِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهَ مَنْ يَخَافُهُ بِالْغَيْبِ. You can be an alim, you can be a sheikh, you can be an imam, you can be a businessman, you can be an accountant, you can be whatever you are. You can be a top teacher and your young student comes and says, sir, I got a crush for you. At that time, you don't get thrilled. You say, oh people of Iman, your Allah is going to test you with the hunting animal. It will come so close that you can just grab it. It's only one message. لِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهَ مَنْ يَخَافُهُ بِالْغَيْبِ. Just so your Allah wants to know who really fears him and who just looks like he fears Allah. This is a journey to Allah, and on that journey that imtihan has to come. That man who will say no, even though he's thirsty, when he will continue, he is the selected army of Almighty Allah. They came up in front of a mighty army. They said, how will we fight this huge empire of kufr? The empire we see around us is called the empire today of the West. We call it the empire of kufr. The people of Iman at that time said, كَمْ مِنْ فِيَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ غَلَبَتْ فِيَةً كَثِيرَةً بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. That how many a time in the past it was a small group that defeated a mighty army. Revolution takes place on the hands of a small amount, the elite. May Allah make me and make you from the elite. You'll have to walk this path. Number one, no matter how much I love kufr, I will never say I love kufr. No matter how much I love kufr, I will never say it, I will never show it. Even if I want my wife to dress up like that Hollywood star and actress, inside I love it, but I will never show it. Because, oh Allah, you take me to task only for my action, my reaction. I will show that I don't like it, even though I love it. I will never say if only I can have a god like they got a god. Second is, oh Allah, save me from that ajz, being helpless to fight the enemy. Let me stand up. Let me go on the journey. And then, oh Allah, save me when the exam comes. And at that time, when it comes right in front, I grab immediately. I look this way, I look that way, no one saw grabbed. The imtihan will carry on. But when that man passes that exam, when that test comes in front and he says no. You become the Yusuf of the era when a beautiful girl comes in front and you look the other way. You become the Yusuf of the era. On your hands Allah will make revolution. When haram will come in front of you, wealth, you will become the Kamal of the era. You will look the other way. Not because we don't desire, we all desire.
لِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهَ مَنْ يَخَافُهُ بِالْغَيْبِ. But I know my Allah sent it to me just to show, are you going to go past the river now? When you will go past the river? Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam then stood up, he took a pebble and he threw it into the eye of Jalut. It was one pebble. With that one pebble of Dawood alayhi salam, that mighty king Jalut fell dead to the ground. An army of kufr was destroyed. That individual who manages to walk past that last river, Allah tabarakallah makes it on his pebbles. On his pebbles, revolutions take place in the world. We saw those ulama, those awliya. May Allah tabarakallah make all of us from amongst them. They one word changed the hearts of people. They created revolution with one book. They attacked the armies of Jalut with what seemed like just a pebble. They had no conveyances to go around the world. They said something in one village of one country, Allah took their voice around the world. Their words affected people, their writing affected people, their du'as affected people. That pebble of a person who walks past that last river becomes a very strong pebble. To bring down the forces of kufr, you'll have to walk this path. You will walk the road of the Banu Israel like this. But finally there was that group of the Banu Israel that went the final. If that group could go, we are of the Ummah of Rasulullah, we can also go the final. May Allah tabarakallah in the barakah of the night of Thursday and in the barakah of the Mubarak days of Hajj, may Allah tabarakallah pull us out of the first group and pull us out of that second group, and Allah take us past the river. And whenever an imtihan, an exam comes, may Allah save us from falling at the time of the exam. May He take us through the imtihan. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-hazn. O Allah, I seek Your protection from depression. Wa a'udhu bika min al-ajzi wal-kasl. O Allah, I seek Your protection from being helpless and being lazy. Wa a'udhu bika min al-jubni wal-bukhl. O Allah, I seek Your protection from cowardice and stinginess. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ ضَلَعِ الدَّيْنِ. I seek Your protection from the burden of qarz, of debt. وَغَلَبَتِ الرِّجَالِ. And that people around me must have control over me. May Allah tawarukala make us the unique, the elite, the armies of Almighty Allah. May Allah make on our words, on our talks, on our actions. May Allah make the world of kufr crumble in front of us. جزاكم الله for listening with so much of. Allah tabarakallah, in the end of this verse, this last, where it, when they asked, how can you take down the armies of kufr? So the people of Iman gave this answer. They said, kam min fi'atin qalilatin ghalabat fi'atan kathiratan bi'idhnillah. How many a time a small army defeated a mighty army? And then they said, but what that small army had? They said, wallahu ma'as-sabirin. It says, because the help of Allah comes to those people who can make sabr. That sabr is that what this whole bayan is about. To control. That water is in front, no. That loan is in front, no. That girl is in front, no. That picture is in front, no. That is called sabr. That can I control? Can I control? Can I control? Wallahu ma'as-sabirin. Those people who get this quality of controlling, they will find Allah's help will just start moving with them wherever they go. Wa akhiru da'am. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen wa laqibatu lil muttaqeen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa barik wa sallim. O most rahim Allah, most kareem Allah, most forgiving Allah, most kind Allah. O Allah, let us never be the slaves of kufr. O Allah, let us not remain the slaves of the fir'auns of the era. O Allah, let us hate the fir'auns of the era. O Allah, let us hate the ways of the fir'auns of the era. O Allah, let us hate their clothing. Let us hate their talk. Let us hate their walk. O Allah, grant us honor in our Islam. O Allah, let us look at Islam with awe and honor. O Allah, make us the people of honor. O Allah, in our hands raise the flags of Islam in the entire world. O Allah, make us from the elite armies of Islam. O Allah, make our children from the elite armies of Islam. O Allah, it is a very small group that's managed, that is able to walk past that river. O Allah, but Your treasures are never short. O Allah, Your khazanas are never short. O Allah, if You allow every single person in this masjid to become part of that unique and united army, O Allah, that will bring down the empires of kufr, O Allah, there will never be any kami in Your treasure. O Allah, in the Mubarak days of the days of Hajj, Oh Allah, in the Mubarak nights of the days of Hajj, Oh Allah, when everyone in the world is saying, Allahu Akbar, there is nothing like you, Oh Allah. Oh Allah, we ask you, Oh Allah, that you make us amongst that elite army of Islam. Oh Allah, that we walk past every era where the Banu Israel got stuck. Oh Allah, and that we are able to come up to the armies of Jalut. Oh Allah, and we are able to throw the pebbles of Iman and Islam into the face of Kufr. Oh Allah, at our hands, Oh Allah, at our Allahu Akbar, Oh Allah. Oh Allah, at our salah and dua, Oh Allah. Oh Allah, through our efforts, Oh Allah, that the empires of Kufr crumble around us. Oh Allah, protect us from being the slaves of banks. Oh Allah, protect us from being the slaves of banks. Oh Allah, protect us from being the slaves of attraction. Oh Allah, protect us from being the slaves of our nafs and shaitan. Oh Allah, grant us power over our desires. Oh Allah, grant us strength over our desires. Oh Allah, grant us the ability to say no. Oh Allah, grant us the ability to say no. Oh Allah, let us live for you. Oh Allah, let us die for you. Oh Allah, let us live for you. Oh Allah, let us die for you. Oh Allah, when we stand in front of you, Oh Allah, let it not be that we have to say what we brought. Oh Allah, but the wounds of our bodies show what we have brought. Oh Allah, the bleeding of our heart shows what we have brought. Oh Allah, let it be that we stand in front of you in such a condition that you say, Oh my servant, when you in the world, whatever I wanted, you did. Oh my servant, today whatever you want, I will. Oh Allah, grant us the pleasure of hearing that from you. Oh Allah, grant us the pleasure of hearing. Oh Allah, in this world, grant us the lives of Jannah. Oh Allah, in our grave, grant us the graves of Jannah. Oh Allah, in front of you, Oh Allah. Allah, grant us the ecstasies of the world of Jannah. Allahumma anta as-salam, wa minta as-salam, tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Allahumma aghfir lana warhamna wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwab rahim. Allahumma alhimna marashid umurina wa a'idhna min shururi anfusina. Allahumma rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwab rahim. Bismillah ma shaa Allah la quwwata illa billah. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun 'alal mursalin. والحمد لله رب العالمين.